T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Dan McNeil, Danny Parkins.
Here we go!
Afternoons on The Score.
I know the midday guys are more the analytics show. When we were at Score House in Arizona, we were all dreaming about what trip the shows would want to take. Mac and I wanted to go to Denver for the legal weed. Mully wanted to go to Bears Raiders in London. And Dan and Connor wanted to go to Sloan Sports Analytics to learn about analytics and sports.
The key to understanding the game is sabermetrics.
Huh? The field was developed by statistician Bill James.
I made baseball as much fun as doing your taxes.
Well, MIT has graded their favorite trade of any American pro sport of the last year based on analytics. What the best trade to the analytics community was: the Raiders trading away Khalil Mack.
I am a stormtrooper.
You are a huge nerd.
Man, what a ridiculous headline. Can't wait to talk to Dan and Connor about that tomorrow in transition. Defend your nerds now, nerds. Sloan.
What's the square root of his apartment?
You gotta admit, that was a good conversation at Score House. Those are the three shows. Summed up pretty nicely.
Enjoy the rest of the convention.
Amazing resource.
You learn a lot. You know, you watch through it and it washes over you.
Bet you they line up to hear this one.
Yo! Saddle up! Lock and load!
The McNeil and Parkins Show. Afternoons 1 to 6 on 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago's sports station.
It is McNeil and Parkins on The Score. Mac off again. He is with his father at the hospital. So Spieg's pinch hitting today. We're very appreciative of him stepping in. We're thinking about you, Mac. This hour on The Score, sponsored by Puji Hyundai in Downers Grove. Buying a car from Puji can be a beautiful thing. A lot of talk of Mike Trout's deal, Eli Hershkovich in studio, Hub Arkish on the phone, and Yu Darvish left the game with what now is being described as a blister on his right finger.
Looking back through the internet, which never lies, I can see that Yu Darvish had a blister in 2013 with the Texas Rangers. That was his first home start of the year with the Rangers. That's the only other blister incident I can see. So it's nice to see that it's not a frequently recurring thing where you have to go back 6 years to find a blister issue for Yu Darvish.
On his right ring finger is what Bruce Levine is telling us. He just called and talked to Shep. So, yeah, you know, obviously that doesn't seem like a huge deal, but he was supposed to start the second game of the season. Maybe that impacts that. Maybe it doesn't. And you just don't need anything to derail the start to this guy's year. No one needs a better first two or three starts out of the gate for the Cubs than Yu Darvish.
I think that's fair to say. Darvish did not miss a start in 2013 when he had the blister issue. So this really would be
Be a first.
Be a first if he missed any starts due to a blister, as far as my quick research has gone.
Okay. Well, I mean, quick internet research.
Is never wrong.
It's undefeated.
Yeah. I feel really good about it. Anything else you want to know? I mean, while I'm here, I do have the internet handy. What else can I tell you?
I'm good.
You're good?
I know everything I need to know. You know everything you need to know. We're fine.
I know everything I need to know about college basketball now that I've spent 40 minutes with Eli Hershkovich. Holy hell. Were you ever that competent, confident, comfortable dissecting every team in a 64-team field in any sport of any kind?
No, I mean,
like, I had a moment when I was in junior high when I could have told you every lineup of every team in Major League Baseball and every pitching staff, like that kind of thing. Eli is a grown man as far as I can tell, and seems to know everything about every team that plays college basketball.
Yeah, you know, he
it's uncomfortable.
He's passionate about it, and you got to find your lane and your niche and your way in. And, you know, the adage, you know, find something that you love and then see if you could do that professionally.
Mm-hmm.
He loves college basketball. It's his favorite sport. He likes it more than baseball and football and the NBA and any of that. So he wants to work in college basketball. So He launched his own podcast for it. He got credentialed to go out and cover local college basketball games for it. Then he got hired by the Action Network, a gambling startup, to be a college basketball guy. And he keeps stacking up credentials in college basketball. And this is March, so I'm sure he'll be even bigger next March. It's great.
This is how you do it.
He did say that he's watched at least one college basketball game every day since the season has started. And he's got a live-in girlfriend who's going to throw him out of his apartment. So, you know, he's already making that work-life balance of he's trying to break through, and he's young, and he's hungry, and he's got a career, but he's watching Wofford in November.
Oof, somebody's got to do it.
You know what I mean? So that's a problem.
A little more action over in the Cubs game that's going on in Arizona. Chris Bryant got hit earlier in the game. Wilson Contreras hit earlier in the game. Just now, Carl Edwards Jr. apparently hit. Was it Aaron Nola? Is it Aaron Nola that he hit?
Austin Nola.
Oh, Austin Nola. Yeah, that'll make a difference. But he hit a guy in the back, hit Austin Nola in the back, and then got thrown out of the game.
Is it ridiculous to anyone else that the Mariners are a split squad today because the other part of their split squad is opening their season in Tokyo tomorrow morning?
So it's all the minor leaguers
is throwing at a bunch of minor leaguers is what we take from that.
But make your point, CJ, that it won't last into the season for those guys.
So what? Why?
Don't remember this when they play again in 20. Well, when do they play again? I guess they probably do play this year. I think the Cubs do have the AL West.
Maybe Edwards will be on the Mariners by then.
Any initial reports of why he was mad?
Because guys got hit earlier.
Okay.
Bryant Contreras hit earlier.
Retribution. Good job there. Mm-hmm. You think C.J. Edwards is going to be gone?
I don't know. I just know that the days of me trusting and feeling good about C.J. Edwards are done.
Yeah. In the bullpen, you'd rank it Morrow when healthy, Strope, Cishek as your top three?
Yes. And okay. Brad Brock has a chance to elevate into that top three. I'd probably do Brock 4 at this point.
Brock 4, CJ 5?
I guess. But there's different CJs.
Of course.
You know, there's the guy who knows where the ball's going and then the guy who doesn't know his mechanics.
Isn't there a story here we're missing? CJ Edwards actually hit what he was throwing at for a
We don't know for sure. Like, that's a good point.
It could have been a mistake.
That's what's noteworthy.
Oh, God. I wonder if...
Progress.
Has maybe somebody covered it last year. I don't remember. Darvish and Edwards, did they ever, like, you know, talk about that at bat from a couple years ago in the playoffs? That's when I was done with CJ. That's when I fell off the CJ bandwagon for good.
That was tough.
That's tough. Darvish up there just wagging the bat around.
Right. Was it four pitches?
Yeah.
Yeah, four pitches.
Four pitches, no bunt attempts.
Correct.
Bad bunter to begin with. Just, you know.
And Darvish just playing with him.
Just taunting him.
Taunting him.
And throwing the bat.
Kind of made me like Darvish.
Yeah, bat flipped the walk, didn't he?
Yeah, he bat flipped the walk.
And made me hate CJ, made me actually like Darvish.
Because CJ was kind of in some rough waters before that, too. Because he gave up the bomb to Bryce Harper that went about 970 feet.
In the series
in
they
game
won.
Two. They ended up winning that series.
That remains the angriest I have ever seen a look on Theo Epstein's face. In that locker room, after that game, when CJ gave up the bomb to Harper. And I saw Joe Maddon walking from the locker room into the manager's office and just going to sit down. And Joe, like, do, 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 do.
Theo's waiting for him, like the principal.
Like, just fire just coming out of the eyes, smoke from the ears, everywhere. Just, I think his chair was in flames, if I remember correctly. Just pure fury on the face. Of that dude who does not like to lose.
And I don't think that pitch location was exactly in the scouting report to Bryce Harper.
In a related story, Tommy Hotovy has moved from the front office to the coaching staff.
Exactly.
As the pitching coach for 2019.
And it's fun, like, when they try to say, no, he's not these coaches aren't an extension of the front office. They're Joe's coaches.
Adorable.
It's great, isn't it?
Absolutely adorable. I remember that Saturday a few weeks ago, we had Theo on Inside the Clubhouse, and I asked him that if Tommy Hotovy was a way to help get, you know, the front office vision a little more involved in in-game strategy. No, not at all. 2 hours later, asked Doug Glanville, who was a guest, if that was it. He said, absolutely.
That's 100% what this is. Well, it's just, I mean, it's so obvious. Tommy Hotovy and Iapochi did not sign one-year contracts. Joe has 1 year left on his deal. His guys were Jim Hickey and Chili Davis. Davis.
Sure.
They're going. Joe's here. These guys signed both by you. They're not Joe's coaches.
No, they're Hotovy is a Borzello guy, if anything, and obviously an Epstoyer guy. But that's all over baseball. You know, in Tampa, they've got an analytics guy in a coaching uniform now. They've got, I think he's, is he in his 20s or maybe low 30s? He's a Princeton grad, a front office guy.
He's got to put on a uniform.
100%. They gave him a uniform, and they're giving the guy a uniform, and he will be there. And there's always somebody, you know. You didn't watch Alex Cora looking to his right before he made any decision in the World Series, looking at nobody. He's looking at somebody who's talking to somebody else.
Yeah.
So now just go ahead and put the guy down there.
And that's why manager salaries are going down.
100%.
Because they don't feel like the clubhouse culture thing is worth $6 million a year anymore.
Unless it's a truly magical guy in the truly right scenario with a difficult bunch of people. You know, and Madden was. No, Madden was absolutely the right guy.
No, I know, but I don't know if Madden, you know, Madden says he's not a lame duck. He's a free agent.
Oh, that's because Joe is capable of positivity / delusion whenever he needs it.
Right, but so let's say the Cubs win 94 games, but they don't make any noise in the playoffs, and the Cubs decide to just part ways with Joe Madden. He's a free agent. He's taking a pay cut next year, even if all 30 teams can bid on his services.
Probably just because of the nature of the business and the way that it's gone.
Yeah, even if he's the best culture creator that there is, mm-hmm. and everybody could say, hey, maybe we want Joe Madden, so any team that would say they're perfect for him, I just think it's over. I think it's done. Executives are getting paid more and managers are getting paid less.
Yes, but I don't think it's done for certain guys who have pedigree if they still want to do it.
Like who?
Him. Bochy, but he doesn't. He's walking away. But, you know, it's certain guys, like, there's only a few. But, I mean, so Joe's part of a dying breed, to your point.
We'll see. But my guess is that if he re-signs with the Cubs or signs elsewhere, mm-hmm. it will be for a salary cut. Even if he'll still be paid more than $1 million, obviously, because of tenure and pelts on the wall. But if Joe Girardi gets back into managing, he's not going to, I don't think, he's going to be a $6 million man anymore.
Jonathan Ehrlichman is 28 years old. He's worked for 5 years in the Tampa Rays front office, the last two as directors of analytics. And now he will don a uniform and be on Kevin Cash's coaching staff in Tampa Bay. I think that's official. Congratulations to Bernsey and McKnight. Of course, the nerds have won. You've done it.
They got to get him on the show.
That is a 28-year-old Princeton grad with a math degree who is allowed to wear a uniform.
What number does he get?
Pi?
Yeah, 314. Perfect.
I think it's over.
01. It's binary. It's code.
We have to declare the nerds winners now, right?
Yeah. These
bastards.
It's unfortunate.
I mean, at least that's a huge victory.
It is a huge victory. You don't just get the abacus and the pie charts and the front office jobs. You get to wear the uniform.
You get to wear
the
uniform.
Go on the road. You get the per diem.
Yeah. Someday I want to run a ball club.
Okay, maybe, but you'll be upstairs in a suit, pumpkin head.
That's great.
Not anymore.
That's great. Yeah. Kids can be anything they want to be.
You really can.
So Mike Trout, $430 million, and he's going to be an Angel till his 38-year-old season. And now the key is, can you win around him? Like, is Artie Moreno going to actually spend around him? Because if the farm system's better now, right? He's still out there. He's won zero playoff games in his career, and it's the great conundrum of Mike Trout and his popularity. He doesn't care about celebrity. He's on the West Coast. He's on a bad team. They don't win, and so he's the anonymous half billionaire.
They've had a trout and they've had a salmon. How about it?
Sounds fishy to me.
Oh, God. I'm sorry I even brought it up. There he is, Mike Trout, your sport.
I don't know about you during the course of this particular offseason, but, you know, they say, what's the phrase? A sign of intelligence is truly being able to understand both sides of a situation or a dilemma, something like that.
That
right?
Sounds like something the internet would say.
Right. Yeah, you know.
Back to our research from earlier.
Exactly. But I've spent a lot of time both talking about how Manny Machado and Bryce Harper are 100% worth the money that they got. And today, Mike Trout is worth the money that he got. And also, B, one guy just doesn't make that massive a difference as you try and build a winner.
Yep.
It's kind of crazy to have both things be true in their own way, isn't it?
It is.
Because Mike Trout could be as good as he has been for another 5 or 6 years, and if they don't build a real team around him, he won't go to the playoffs.
Well, the best way to do it, right, is you said earlier that it's a $8 million or $9 million per war, right, per win, is what the contracts are worth. And so there was an estimate that the Trout contract is actually, over the course of his career, going to be worth $700 million less than his war value somehow, which is crazy.
Right.
And so even if I don't understand the formula, but so even if Mike Trout is a 8-war player and he's worth 8 wins above the replacement, 8 wins doesn't get you anything by itself.
Right. You need a bunch of other guys who are 2 or 3 wins.
Exactly. You need 88 other wins to be sure you're a playoff team.
Right.
So I guess
they're not really at war with themselves, these two thoughts that I've been having.
No pun intended.
Simultaneous.
Right. They're not at all, because 8 wins doesn't do anything by itself. It's just that one person is not normally worth that many wins. And then from the business side of it,
from the money is there.
The money is there.
And the money is bankable. It is, you can count on it and know it's there because of revenue sharing and MLBAM and some of these TV deals.
And for just your local, you want to be relevant locally. The Angels have Mike Trout.
Mm-hmm.
That should make them relevant locally. Now, I saw...
They've had a trout and they've had a salmon. How about it?
Sounds fishy to me.
Cod! Shep's hands just right to his forehead when he heard that. Just utter shame and embarrassment.
I hadn't heard that before. Like, Tanny saved that one. Like, he's kept that one locked and loaded.
For 5 o'clock hour of the day that Mike Trout resigns.
Mike Trout extension day.
He's a wizard, like Chris Tannehill.
So, I've been thinking about it, before this with Harper. Every time I see these highlights or these stories about Harper and how he got his first hit and he asked a fan for the ball. And, how he had gotten a little banged up and left and people were afraid and just as much as they've done, there's no guarantee that the Phillies are going to do anything in a ridiculously tough National League East.
But that
doesn't mean he's not worth the money.
Right. That's how the sport works. And then again, the relevance of it helps with attendance. It helps with selling advertising to a local TV station.
Oh, and the Phillies have done that. They've had a big business boost since Harper signed.
Jerseys, everything about it, just and relevance. Having some sort of relevance. Having a current player's jersey who you can show up with and go to the field. Right? For forever, there was too many Ryan Terrio Cubs jerseys walking around Wrigley. And then this group came, and you never see a Ryan Terrio jersey. Or if you do, it's a hipster who just is being ironic, and he came over from Lollapalooza.
Or it's Ryan Terrio.
Right. Which is, that was weird.
Take that off already.
Who are you, Ronnie Woo-Woo, wearing your own jersey around Wrigleyville? It's unnecessary.
No, Terrio should wear a DeRosa, and DeRosa could wear a Terrio.
That'd be perfect.
No player has had a higher WAR, total wins above replacement, since 2006 than Mike Trout. What's interesting about that is Trout did not become a regular player until 2012. So he spotted everybody a good 6 seasons and still has been the most valuable guy in baseball over the last 14 years. Craziness.
That's pretty good.
Last year he had a 9.8 WAR. That was more than the entire Padres lineup, the Tigers lineup, the Giants lineup, the Orioles lineup, and the White Sox lineup. The entire White Sox lineup last year had 8.3 wins combined. Trout was a 9.8.
I saw that, I don't know if it was 6 or 7 years, but if you go back, whatever the time period was, he has more WAR value than Bryant and Baez combined. When you just think about, second place MVP finisher, MVP. He's awesome. He's the best player in the sport, and he's arguably the best player of all time.
And he just got paid like it, and there ain't nothing wrong with that.
And nobody watches him. Be caller number 20 to the Scores Contest line at 312-591-6700. You win tickets to attend the Cubs season preview party with our guy Matt Spiegel and Pat Hughes.
Pat Hughes! I love Pat Hughes!
On March 24th at the Blue Cross Blue Shield Performance Stage, courtesy of the Illinois Lottery's new Lucky 7's instant ticket. Must be 18 or older to play. Lawrence Holmes is in Arizona. We'll talk to him in 25 minutes. I know Spiegs has to laugh at me about one of my idiotic sports points.
Oh, yeah.
Spiegs is in for Mac. It's Mac and Park. It's on the Score.
The Angels owner paid only $168 million for the franchise 16 years ago shows, quite a bit of growth in the game of baseball when it comes to the economics.
Yeah,
That's crazy. Mike Trout could buy that team now, two of them, if it was that price.
That is crazy. Mike Trout, the richest player in North American sports history in terms of contracts signed from their teams. Obviously, Jordan and LeBron have made more, but total value of contracts signed from your sport, Mike Trout now number one all time.
Crazy. It has always been thought that Chris Bryant will play up until he is a free agent, like most Scott Boras clients do, like Bryce Harper just did. But as you see all these guys signing extensions before they get there, and you see the length of the wait for Harper and Machado, though they did end up getting exactly what they wanted, you wonder whether Bryant will push that same timeline and wait it out.
Impossible to know, mm-hmm. right? Scott Boras normally takes it to free agency, and it did work out, like you said. But obviously, if you wanted the Cubs to be in on signing some of these guys, it hasn't been a great offseason, right? Nato takes his name off the market. That was more for the Sox. Machado, Harper, now Trout. So the idea of earmarking your money in the future for other team superstars, fewer and fewer of them available.
It can be dangerous, which is why if you really get your claws into somebody and you think you got them, go ahead and give them what they want and bring them in, Machado.
I should have mentioned this earlier. Tomorrow on the show at 3:25, someone that Mac and I have wanted to talk to for a long time is going to be on the show. Brian Koppelman and David Levine, the co-writers and creators of the show Billions, which is right now on Showtime, which I love, Paul Giamatti, Damian Lewis, also the people who wrote Rounders, which is in my top five, arguably my favorite movie ever. Mac loves it, incredibly quotable. You and I are both poker players. Peak of Ed Norton, beginning of Matt Damon, superstardom. The creators of Rounders will be on the show tomorrow at 3:25.
It's really about Martin Landau for me.
I mean,
Rounders has always been.
Gin, always gin.
But
it must be tonight.
That's cool. And Koppelman's a great story in and of himself. Remember, he went on a tweet storm a few months back about how don't give up when the business is telling you to give up. Don't listen to people who tell you you cannot do it. You'll probably go down that road at some point because he'd been told you're done, you're toast. After a movie was a flop.
Right, and he says that the thing that they couldn't say, they couldn't stop me from writing.
Right.
I wrote my own thing, and he wrote
Billions.
Rounders.
Billions.
Billions. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but he's a great story, and his story of how he got Norton is pretty amazing. How he cast him in Rounders, wanted to meet him, and so he after the script and selling it to a bunch of people, he gets the meeting at his house. And he's super intimidated because it's his first screenplay and it's his baby and he doesn't really have any credits, but he threw in favors and luck and he gets in the room and Ed Norton invites him to his house and he buzzes him in and he goes in and before he talks about Rounders, he's like, hey, I want to show you what I'm working on right now. It's about to come out. I'm just looking at some of the cuts. And he shows him the curb stomping scene from American History X. So he's like, oh my God. And then he has to pitch Rounders Ed Norton after screening that unreleased scene, one of the more graphic scenes. And Ed Norton is a Nazi. And yes, it's a great story.
God.
So that'll be tomorrow, 3:25.
Cool.
It should be good. But we'll talk to Lawrence Holmes in about 10 minutes or so.
All right. So did I hear you yesterday singing the praises of Jim Boylan or just kind of doing a mea culpa?
Yeah.
Why? Because he had Zach LaVine's back and Zach LaVine was happy about that.
I felt like I was so critical of him early and that he was going to be incapable of coaching stars because of how he carried himself that – when the star of the Bulls offers to pay his fine, and that's coming off of what I thought was, even if at times naive and idealistic in his interview with Darnell Mayberry at The Athletic, I just loved that he did it, that he brought a reporter in, that he drew up stuff mm-hmm. on the whiteboard, that he gave that access, that he admitted that he was flawed and learning and adjusting and that he had made mistakes and he will make more. You don't always see that from people in that position.
That's true.
And so I wanted to give him credit for those things because I was really hard on him at the beginning. And my conclusion was I still want them to look for a coach. He's not a net positive yet, but he might not be an overwhelming net negative. I have to be at least open to the possibility that he's not an overwhelming net negative.
Yeah, I'm not buying that possibility.
Okay.
I think he is an overwhelming net negative. I guess the issue is I think he's a boob. You know what I mean? So, like, it's the longer you look at a guy and live covering a guy,
yeah,
then you'll start to see the human side. You know, and that's good. You're seeing some self-awareness from him, see him admit some foolishness from early on. You see him learn because he's passionate and he gives a crap. But two out of the last three games, he's been the laughingstock of the opposition.
It hasn't been a great run for him in terms of decorum.
No.
But at least now it's not towards his own players. It's towards the opposing coaches. Silver lining?
Sure.
Doc Rivers called him out for talking about his players and his team.
To him. Doc Rivers said, why are you talking to me
about
my team?
Yeah.
And Doc Rivers said he'd never had that before.
Yeah, he's like, it's an unwritten rule in coaching. You don't talk about another guy's team.
Somebody should have told Jim the rule.
Yeah.
He pissed off Doc Rivers.
And then last night with Igor Kokoskov or whatever.
And we're going to have a timeout taken by Jim Boylan. And a 115-101 ball game with 40 seconds left. Belton High right-hand dribble now rolls to his right. And pressured and wrapped up by Anthony. So DeAnthony Melton commits the foul, and that's going to put Archie Diakono with the line. That's a surprising foul, Bill.
Yeah.
And Igor Kokoskov, the head coach, actually ordered that foul. 115-101 Bulls.
You know what that was?
For the timeout?
Uh-huh.
No gamesmanship there?
You know what? You're going to call a timeout to extend this game? I won't let you run your play.
And the head coach of Phoenix, no handshake at midcourt. He walks off the floor with 5 seconds left.
Well, he's not happy with...
Well... And
Bulls win. Yep. Bulls win.
So maybe I was a little quick to praise.
Well, I just think, you know,
what
you live with the ugly kid for a long time, and you're like, you know what, his nose isn't so bad. Maybe the nose is okay.
Yeah, I just
because this guy. Oh God,
I
14 point game, 40 seconds left. I'm gonna use this moment for development.
I'm calling a timeout on the road in this man's building, and then swag by Igor.
Well,
calling out to intentionally foul so that Boylan can't run the play.
Igor's had a tough year.
Yes, he has.
He's had a tough go.
And then he's asked after the game about what happened. That he no comments it all the way. He was clearly pissed at Boylan.
Two direct no comments when asked about it. He pulled his team and then no handshake. Do you remember after the Warriors game when Steve Kerr blew Boylan off?
Yeah.
This is a thing that a lot of coaches around the league are doing. Like, hey, who wants to join the club of blowing off Jim Boylan at the end of a game?
So we're at 10% of the league now. Kerr, Doc Rivers, and Igor.
Hold on to your feelings from the segment that when you countered Paxson about the reputation around the league, and you came back with like data and sound and or quotes of times where the Bulls were the laughingstock of the league.
Yeah,
that still remains far more true than anything.
Of course it does,
and Boylan's not helping that.
I agree. I just felt like, and I do feel overall in the NBA, there's a handful of difference-making coaches on the positive end, and there's maybe a few difference-making coaches on the negative end, and there's a huge middle class of guys that are just guys. And so yesterday, the thought was basically, maybe he could be in that middle class. That was basically the thought, because initially I said, no chance whatsoever of this guy being able to coach stars. Just treating them like high schoolers, the rah-rah stuff, the spirit, the getting down in the defensive stance, like going insane when Archie Diakono dives for a loose ball and just getting all amped up like he's a high school coach. It just felt so gimmicky to me. So when a $78 million a year player, who by the way had taken time, not a year player, but $78 million total player, Zach LaVine, who had taken opportunities to be critical of Jim Boylan publicly when he also offered to pay his fine. I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah, no, so
I should acknowledge that. I felt like I should acknowledge it.
That's fine. That's fine. I just
the last
you know,
night was hilarious.
Last night was ridiculous. And yeah, the Boylan blow-off club that those three coaches are all a part of. Who will be the next to join the Boylan blow-off club?
It's very exciting.
Take a look at the schedule. But for this year of the rebuild to look this ugly and to have a massive change of system right in the middle of it and then, you know, just have to go as far as they've gone just to end up where they are. It just didn't need to be this pathetic.
No, of course it didn't. But when I watched the first half and then I fell out of interest and then I woke up this morning and I went back and checked what happened on Stephen Doe's Twitter account and I was like, really? That night after I praised him for the first time this year, that had to happen. Just ridiculous. You've got your Calcutta.
I do. It's tomorrow night.
Tomorrow night. What are your leans? And tell people what it is. Give them the 60-second broad stroke of what you're getting into for the tournament.
There are, I believe, six different syndicates, mob-style syndicates.
Mob.
In this completely underground. It never gets publicized except by me when I talk about it. I believe we have somewhere near $50,000 cobbled together as a syndicate. The
mob.
The pool, total pool might be between $200,000 and $300,000. It assuredly will. And you buy teams. You buy a team. One seeds will go from anywhere between $18,000 to $25,000. 7 to 10 seeds will go for $1,000 to $1,500, something like that, and everywhere in between. And you get a certain amount of money back based on how far your teams go. So it's a completely fun and bizarre and terrifying way to enjoy the NCAA tournament. And
you're in for $25,000.
No. I bring an alarmingly small amount of knowledge to the base, especially considering what I do for a living.
Yeah. But
every year they're like, you know what? Speaks should be on the inner circle here as we... No. Go ahead. Go sit over there.
No,
go,
he's in for 1%.
Yeah, go order another drink. It's okay. It's all right.
Well, hey, man.
But my
it's
God,
March.
It is March. There's a million ways to do this tournament. I'm in one of those things where you get handed a team and you get them. Like if they cover the spread, you move on.
Spread pool.
Just a straight up spread pool. So I think I have a terrible team in that, but it doesn't matter because they could cover.
Yeah,
and then
spread
you move
pools
on.
Are luck.
Right. Exactly. So, you know, like squares in that way.
Yeah, essentially. But they're fun. Yeah, there's player pools, there's brackets, there's auctions, there's Calcuttas,
yeah.
There's half and halves. Some people do a half spread, half auction, and so your team wins and covers, you keep them and you advance in both pools.
Yeah.
If your team wins and doesn't cover, you're eliminated in the spread pool.
Right.
And then the other person comes up on that chair. So it's crazy.
You think it'll be weird when I show up to this Calcutta draft tomorrow with Eli Hershkovich sitting on my knee the entire time. And I'll pretend I'm pulling a string and it's me, it's my voice going through the Eli doll. Is that going to look weird, you think?
I think it'll be totally normal.
All right, good.
Everyone's got to bring in a ringer. Right? Bringing your child.
That's great.
Oh, I just can't wait to be king.
Simba.
The best part is they think that I'm the ringer, or they used to think that, and yet I need to bring in a ringer.
It's okay.
Eli's coming.
Congratulations again to Eli Hershkovich, making his TV debut, coming up in 20 minutes. That's our guy. Bottom of the hour brought to you by the Chicago Wolves. Only 5 regular season home games remain for the first place Chicago Wolves at Allstate Arena. Celebrate the 25th anniversary season with free parking courtesy of Kia as well as discounted concessions. For ticket information, visit ChicagoWolves.com. We go to the desert where Yu Darvish got removed from the game with a blister on his right ring finger. And we talk to Lawrence Holmes next on The Score.
I like that cross tie.
I hear the people talk.
We like it too. Spieg's in for Mac, who is with his father in the hospital, hopefully back tomorrow. Brian Koppelman and David Levine, the writers of Billions and Rounders, will be on the show tomorrow at 3:25. He's not at Sloan Park. He's at Surprise Stadium, the home of the Royals, where Cubs and Royals is happening tonight right here on The Score. It's our buddy Lawrence Holmes. What's up, Lawrence?
I am dodging bees, boys. That's what I'm doing.
Oh, boy. Now I'm picturing you like Jabba Chamberlain on a mound with all the midges around.
Well, that speaks. That is about what's going on. Like, Walt, our fine engineer, was like, you know what? I'm going to open up the windows because I don't want the sound to bounce off the windows. And I was like, yeah, that sounds like a great idea. It's what we did last night. I thought the show sounded really good from Sloan. And then this swarm of bees just headed towards the press box, and they're right. They're like two booths where Lynn and Coom are getting ready to do the game. Like, if they open the windows, it would be like cartoonish how this horde of bees would form up like Voltron and come through. It is amazing. So Walt and I agreed that we probably aren't going to open the windows today.
Stay safe out there, man. That's no joke.
It is. I threw a video up on Twitter because I knew people wouldn't believe me. But, I mean, it is a horde of folks that are trying to get in here and sting me.
Hey, Lawrence. Lawrence, did you know that the A's and Mariners are playing a baseball game in less than 12 hours that counts?
Yeah, I knew that.
Okay, we didn't.
That'll do it.
Didn't you guys see the video of Ichiro, like, showing off his hose?
Yeah, no, I knew it. Danny did not, and a lot of other people did not. And baseball does not do a great job of letting you know when their season starts.
Lawrence, yeah, and it's been a little bit weird with them going to Japan or Australia or wherever else they're going to go to start seasons off a week early. But, yeah, there's consequential baseball. You had to like baseball that counts.
I like it.
You had to scroll down on MLB.com to get a news story. It's not on the front page of ESPN.com or MLB.com.
That's because Mike Trout got $500 million.
I guess, but come on. I'm on Twitter all the time. How did I miss that?
And you know what, Danny? I'm actually I'm a traditionalist in this regard. I'm all about exploring and spreading the game, but I kind of like when it was like Cincinnati would open up the season. That traditionally, that's the place that they would play like that 11:05 game to start the season. And then we could start the season instead of like, oh, what do you mean? The two of the teams are not even in the country right now. Then they're going to play a couple of games and then wait a week to start the rest of their season while everyone else is playing. It's bizarre.
They're going to play more spring training is what they're going to do. And that part's true. Just ridiculous. Have fun out there, man. I know you are.
What do you
got? Thank you, man. I'm going to talk with Bruce Levine about Yu Darvish's blister, which apparently we can all see. And I'll talk about that, too, because Mark Gonzalez got a picture of the blister. And I think that has a lot to do with Darvish wanting to make sure that everyone knows that he's actually hurt and that this isn't like a thing. Coom Dog is here, and he's going to come and hang out with me at 6:30 tonight. And we'll do a little bit of baseball, maybe some other stuff. I'll ask him how he would spend $500 million. And we're going to talk with Maria Torres, who covers the Angels for the LA Times, about the $500 million. And we'll have fantasy time, because I've been thinking about how I would spend that money, and I'm sure everyone else has. So we're going to do that, and we got 2 hours before Cubs baseball. We're going to have a good time.
Sounds good, Lawrence. Have a good show. Thank you to Eli Hershkovich and Hub Arkish for coming on our show today. Nick Szepkowski, our executive producer. Chris Tannehill, fantastic work, as always. Speaks, appreciate you, man.
Of course. Wishing good health to Mac's dad and peace to Mac.
That is exactly right. We're thinking about you, buddy. Hope you get back soon, whenever you're ready. He's Matt Spiegel. I'm Danny Parkins. This is McNeil and Parkins. We are The Score.
They've had a trout and they've had a salmon. How about it?
Sounds fishy to me.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.